Get snacking and get cracking with a snack that packs a protein punch. Pistachios are known for their protein power, fiber, and better-for-you unsaturated fats for a combination that may help you keep feeling fuller longer. Wonderful Pistachios is a good source of protein with zero guilt. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. I love that they come in a variety of sizes and flavors, making this the perfect protein snack for any on-the-go adventure. Check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Flow Track Podcast. I'm Olivia Akpinay, a.k.a. Storm, today. Storm. And I am joined with Ashley Titians, a.k.a. Hermione Granger.
Yes, Hermione. Yes.
I absolutely love it. I am super excited for this week's episode. We have an Olympian who's going to be joining us on our show today, who's going to be competing in the New York City Marathon this weekend. We're going to highlight our favorite moments from the championship part of the weekend. We're going to discuss more about some Bowerman Track Club news, yes. Have a conversation about which programs are winning the recruiting game right now, and of course, we're going to dive a little bit more into the New York City Marathon. But before we bring on our special guest, we have to thank our wonderful sponsors. Are you looking for a delicious and nutritious snack that is packed with a real protein punch? Crack into a good source of protein with tasty, healthy, wonderful pistachios. Each 1 ounce serving of Wonderful Pistachios contains 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. It's one of the highest protein that's out there, but that's not all. Hermione Pistachios are also known for their fiber and their better for you unsaturated fats, which may help you keep feeling fuller longer. And that's just not the best part about it. Wonderful Pistachios comes in a variety of flavors, sizes. We've already talked about the seasoned salt. We've dived into the lightly salted today. So it's perfect for enjoying some time with your family and friends as we're finishing off the football season, cross country is kicking off. So whether you're dropping the kiddos off, going in between meetings, fuel up with a healthy and tasty snack. Wonderful Pistachios would be your now go-to snack. Of course, check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about these wonderful green wonders and how they can power up your day. So thank you, Wonderful Pistachios. So without further ado, I am super, super, super excited to have Molly Huddle on the podcast with us today. Molly was 6th at the Rio Olympic Games in the 10K and has made 3 world teams for Team USA in the 5K and the 10K. And this weekend, like I mentioned, she's going to be competing at the New York City Marathon, not for the first time, not for the second. This is going to be her 3rd time. So she was 4th in 2018, 3rd in 2016, and she's now a mama, co-author of How She Did It. Molly, thank you so much for joining us today. We're super excited to have you on here.
Yeah, hi, Olivia. Thanks for the great intro. Hi, Ashley. Ladies, I like the costume. You look
thank
great.
You. Thank you.
I wish I joined in. I love Halloween, so
I should have given you a warning. I should have done that. I should have been like, Molly, come dress up with us. That would have been awesome.
Got to celebrate Halloween.
Yes. So. Are you doing anything for Halloween? Like, do you and your family have a special theme that you guys are doing?
Our street did like a little kids parade on Saturday, so we took my daughter to that, and even though she's like too little to get the candy and stuff, and then on Halloween we go to my friend's house on the other side of town because they do Halloween like porch parties and like all kinds of fun stuff, so we'll do that tomorrow.
That's awesome.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Well, speaking of being a mama now, how has been being a mommy been for you, and how has training for the New York City Marathon have been different for you since being a mother?
It does feel different, not gonna lie. The baby toddler years are just, it's demanding. And so, you know, I'm doing things like I'm still breastfeeding and she's still trying to sleep her way through the night and not really. So my recovery isn't as good as it used to be. And so our training has had to adjust. So it's definitely a whole new world coming into the marathon as a mom. And I just haven't run one in quite a few years now, you know, with being pregnant and postpartum. So we really wanted to get a marathon in before the trials and see what it's like now in this stage of life. So we'll find out.
I love it. Yeah, that's right. You know, you just mentioned, like, it's been a while since you've ran a marathon. You've ran a couple halves this year, and now you're going to be going back to the full marathon, and it's your third New York City marathon. So, you know, what's it like now as you approach, you know, your third marathon, but your first one in a while?
Yeah, I really just want to be reminded of like what that last 10K feels like, because you kind of block it out. Yes. I feel like everyone who runs a marathon blocks it out after like the next day and then they want to do another one. So I want to remind myself, I want to be prepared for that last 10K and just kind of see where my cracks are, you know, where are the flaws, what do I have to patch up before February. New York is a really hard, difficult course. It's an awesome course, but it's definitely going to test me. And I do feel a little better that I've at least run it twice before. I like know what to expect. So That's good.
And I feel like I know you've been competing in a couple of races, and I know you will talk about the Boston 10K in a little bit, but right now with you training for the New York City Marathon, I feel like this is a special race for you. That, like I mentioned, this is your third time competing here. So why is this race so special for Molly?
Well, anytime I run in New York City, it's special. I just feel like I rise to like a better level of competition because I love that city. I love racing through New York. I love the energy. You know, a lot of the races happen in Central Park or Manhattan, but New York City Marathon, you get to touch on all five boroughs, and it's just like the best day of the year. So I just get excited. When I'm excited, I run well. And, you know, I grew up in upstate New York, so New York City was always like Mecca for me. Like, I feel like every girl in my class, we dream of like moving to New York City when we get older. So this is my version of like visiting New York, and like, you know, it's just such a spectacle and such an amazing weekend to take part. So New York Marathon's always been just, you know, an amazing event for me to be a part of, and even spectating. I just love the environment.
Yeah. And I know I saw, like I mentioned, the Boston 10K, and I follow you on Instagram. So I saw where you competed at the Boston 10K for women to kind of tune up, as you called it, for this marathon this weekend. So how are you feeling physically and mentally going into the weekend?
Yes, we did something a bit different going, like usually I do a half in a marathon buildup, and we did two 10Ks instead. I just didn't want to travel, and I love the all women's races. You know, my coach was like, go do the REI Women's 10K. I know you like that race. You've had a good history there. Definitely was had more marathon legs. You know, I haven't been doing very much like fast stuff that you would want to have in your legs for a 10K. But considering that, I, you know, was able to run like pretty close to the fastest paces I did in practice and just string them all together for a 10K. So I'm hoping the marathon feels a little easier than that. But I think, you know, I came out of it healthy. It was a good workout. It was a fun day. So I think it fit in really well to the training, even though it's not quite as long as we usually race before a marathon.
Now, a couple weeks ago on the podcast, we spoke with Sam Grotewald, who is in charge of, you know, putting together all the elite races that, you know, New York City Marathon and all the New York Roadrunners events. And he kind of broke down the process of like, okay, for each athlete, you know, in the elite field going in, they're going to have different goals, right? Different goals that they're starting to hit and why they want to run New York City Marathon. You know, what would you say for you is your goal this weekend for New York City?
That's definitely true. You know, some years I go there and I'm trying to make the podium. Some years I go there and like this year, this is different. I just want to get a marathon under my belt. I want to break 2:30, but you know, sometimes time is out the window. I want to compete well. And there's an amazing international field. You know, I think up front, there's going to be an insane battle between those top four or five women. You have Letez Nebet-Gide, you have Helen O'Beery, you have like...
It's loaded. There's so many good women.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm probably not going to get mixed up in that, and I'm going to focus more on like the American field and getting through it healthy and just seeing how this training translates. So That's more our mission this year.
I love that. Now, what would you describe as maybe your biggest challenge that you faced in the 2023 calendar year that you felt like you overcame?
Oh gosh, I would say definitely the femoral stress fracture. I got that in May of this year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it was around, no, it was March. It was around New York City Half, and I was just starting to get good training in, and then, you know, I'd already had a long layoff with the postpartum period, and I'd gotten back in shape, and then had to take another, like, 3 months off. So mm-hmm. I think just kind of getting through that, learning, like, the new rules of my body at this stage, you know, I can only push so far. I'm, like, a little bit weak in certain areas, a little bit, like, deficient in certain things just from, like, the breastfeeding. So just figuring all that out and then trying to get back on track. I didn't think I'd be able to fit a marathon in after that, and I'm glad we are. Like, I'm really glad we're fitting one in the fall. So to me, that's a win that mm-hmm. we even, like, had time for this buildup after such a big injury.
That's huge.
Is a win.
You know, now looking at the fall, you know, you'll have New York City Marathon, and then, you know, going into 2024, like you mentioned, you're looking ahead hopefully to, you know, the Olympic trials and doing well there and putting something together there as well. Like, you know, how important, you know, as you're going into 2024, what do you think is going to be the biggest key for you, especially going into, you know, potentially the trials and stuff like that as well?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that early year target of the trials is on everyone's calendar. So mm-hmm. I'm going to try and recover as well as I can from this race and almost roll this buildup into that buildup. You know, I know this work will serve me. Focus on the trials, do the best I can that day, and then after that, just kind of assess what we want to do with the year. You know, I still never got, like, a flat, fast marathon course in this year like I was hoping to. New York's a bit, you definitely leave some time on the table in New York. You know, it's a great course, but it's hard to PR there. Mm-hmm. So I think we could look at that for 2024, but we'll see. I'm just going to live, like, a few, like, months at a time as far as my races go and just see what leads to the next thing. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've seen the video. I know Ashley sent this to me, I think last year, where it shows the video
yes.
of, like, where exactly you're going to be running. And I'm like, gosh, 26.2 miles just looks extremely
especially
long.
Like the New York City one, because it shows you going it's a point yes. to point. So it shows you going through all the boroughs and everything. Yeah.
It's insane. Yeah. So Molly, my question for you, is there a certain area, I know you said the last 10K, you're trying to remember what that feels like, but is there any certain part of that race where you're like, okay, I remember specifically, this is how I felt, because you've done this, you know, 2 years in the past. So is there one particular area where you're like, okay, I really got to pay close attention to this part because it could be a little bit tricky?
Yeah, I think everyone talks about, like, you're coming up Fifth Ave before you go into the park, and it's just like this gradual uphill, and that's where a lot of, like, people are caught. You know, you can catch people or you're the one being passed, and, like, you want to be the one passing people on that stretch, because it's just it's a grind, and you're like 5K to go, and it's like a lot of things happen there. So I remember passing quite a few, maybe two people the first year I ever did it there. And then the second time I did it, I just could not reel anybody in. And so I'm just, like, having that in my head. Like, that's where you want to be racing is
love
First
that.
Ave.
Okay, so Fifth mm-hmm. Ave, Fifth going up the hill. We'll be there cheering for you.
Yes.
If I ever run
yeah,
the New York
City Marathon.
Yeah, that's
a good spot to cheer. Yeah.
You know, lastly, before we let you leave, you know, you've been around this sport for so long, you know, and this is just another chapter in that long, you know, on your resume and stuff and part of that long career, what do you think has been maybe, like, the biggest key to your success and, you know, your love for the sport over the years?
Oh, man. I think maybe just trying to, you know, make new challenges for myself. Like, I have tried quite a few different events. And since moving to the marathon, I just feel like we haven't really nailed it yet. Or we've had, my first one went pretty well, but then there's just so much, so much you can work on. Mm-hmm. So as long as there's something to work on, I'm interested.
I love that.
Actually, I thought of one more question.
Yeah, I know.
Before
I was like, you got to ask Molly this question.
So we asked a lot of our guests this question. Do you, what reminded me is you've done all sorts of different events. Do you prefer track, cross country, or road running and, like, marathoning more? Which one and why?
They're all awesome. They're all what's kept me interested, that you can, like, bounce back and forth in these different kinds of races. Cross country, I want to love it, but it's so hard. Like, it's not my strong suit. I love the concept of cross country. And then I really, like, probably as far as feeling the most natural, it's the track for me. It's just, like, I'm good when you can, like, zone in and, like, get that data every 400 meters. So, yeah, that's fun. But the marathon, I just really, like, it keeps me wanting to, like, have a good one. Like, I keep wanting to come back and, like, get it right. So
I totally understand that. Mm-hmm. Totally understand that. Molly, thank you so much for your time today. We are super excited to see you compete this weekend at the New York City Marathon. As I mentioned, Ashley and I will be flying in Wednesday, so we'll be there on the ground, so I'll be keeping my eyes out for you. Safe travels to you, and happy Halloween as well.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, ladies.
Thank you, Molly. Awesome. I'm so happy we were able to have Molly joining us today. So before we move into our big key segments, I just want to make a quick little note here that Ashley and I are just super excited to be the co-host for the Flow Track podcast now. As you guys know, Gordon Mack, he has been kind of the face of the Flow Track podcast, and he will no longer be joining us on this podcast anymore. So with all that being said, we enjoyed so much of his time here on the podcast. He's done so much for us, and I know they've been filled with so many great memories. So we have this amazing highlight video that we wanted to share with you before we dive into the next part of our show.
Hey, Gordon, you excited about the upcoming cross country season?
Boy, howdy, I sure am.
But what's gonna happen with all the seniors leaving?
I don't know. I wonder who's gonna be left.
Hey guys, look what I found in the broom closet.
What's that?
I don't know, some sort of glove.
Let me see that. It's shiny. I wonder if I could snap my fingers with it.
Have you been selected to run in the West Regional Prelims here in Austin, Texas?
If so, come on down to 2922 East Cesar Chavez, home of Flow Sports HQ.
The zip code is, I don't know, Google it, because this is where we are. This used to be a garage, but now it's the home for track and field. Let's check it out.
Gordon.
My name is Gordon, and I work at Flow Track.
Gordon told me.
We are back, and Adam is here.
Gordon. To my right is Gordon from Flow Track.
For those who don't know, my goal is to dunk a basketball. Don't watch the one with the ball. Show the one with the ball. The one with the ball is...
Okay.
One bad race shouldn't matter. Two bad races, that's a trend.
You're out. AMM says Gordon has great takes. And that was Gordon saying that Fred Curley was going to break Usain Bolt's world record.
You may only have 24 hours left of the trump card of Usain Bolt being the world record holder.
What? 24 what?
That's the best thing about sprint fans. They talk all the shit. Talk shit.
Yeah.
Get proven wrong. And then the next day, they're back to talking shit again.
We even got workout equipment.
Time for the showers. We got girls bathroom. Did I break 2903?
I see that Gordon now, working that just for me. I know that sash ain't real.
That's it.
Okay.
Those are the rules.
James, I think we spent a little too much time on that intro. I think you're right.
We got girls bathrooms. That sounds crazy.
Well, with all that being said, this has just been a super crazy weekend.
Yes.
Full of championships across the board. So, man, there was just so much to unpack. But what Ashley and I have decided to do is we're picking our top team and top individual that has impressed us during this weekend. So, Ashley, let's start with the teams first. Which team really caught your eyes and really probably elevated themselves
over
the weekend?
Well, I think before we go into this, I think we need to preface, like, just maybe go through a rundown of, like, what all happened this weekend. We had ACCs where you have, you know, you have the NC State women, Caitlin Tewing, doing their thing. You have the UNC men win there. And then, you know, SECs, you have the Parker Valby storyline. And then, you know, Pac-12, there's upsets everywhere. Like, it was just a wild weekend, you know? And so I think that's kind of the big point is, like, there's so much to unpack that I think it's easiest for us to break it down this way. And so just prefacing that there.
Yes.
But, you know, first, looking at the team that impressed me the most this weekend, it's definitely, gosh, like, okay, when I looked at the Big Ten results, I was shocked to see, like, just how dominant Wisconsin was on the men's team front. You know, like, going into this meet, there were some questions, like, you know, how good is Wisconsin? I know, you know, Bob Liking didn't run at Nettycombe. They didn't run at, you know, a few of their top athletes in their top seven. So I think there are some questions, right, you know, around, okay, how are these men going to do when it comes to conference? Well, they decided to go out there and score 19 points, almost perfect score. And, I mean, they were dominant in this race. They went 1, 2, 4, 5, and 7. That's their top five. They all finished within that top seven there. And then their fifth runner went, you know, he finished 10th place, and then, or sixth runner, excuse me. And then their seventh runner finished 26. And, again, that's just dominant showing. I mean, yeah. They beat Michigan, who was in second by 50 points. They had their entire top six in before, you know, all teams put two athletes in. Only Michigan, I believe, put two in before Wisconsin's six guy crossed, which is crazy. And, you know, going into the weekend, they were ranked 24th in the USTF CCCCA coaches poll. And, you know, I assume that after this, they have to jump, like, way up the rankings. Like, I'm thinking, like, top 10. Like, that kind of performance, you know, especially at a conference meet, you know, you have bigger schools like Michigan and stuff like that. Like, that's pretty dominant. And then, you know, like I mentioned, too, you have Bob Liking, who's their number one runner. And he has now won three straight individual titles, which he can make that four next year. And only a few athletes have ever done that. So that would be pretty historic. And, you know, again, like I mentioned, he didn't run at Odicombe. And so I think people were curious to see, like, all right, is Bob going to be back? And he was back in a big way.
Yeah.
So I think the winner for me of this weekend is absolutely Wisconsin, because I think they've proven that they are a top 10 team in the nation, like, absolutely.
I agree with you there. I'm going to kind of shift gears a little bit, talking about another big conference. I'm talking about Big 12. I talked about BYU before, and I'm going to bring them up again, because BYU women looked fantastic. And I think the biggest thing here was, you know, we talked about, I believe it was last week, how they're going to have to face Oklahoma State. And, you know, BYU was ranked number four going into the weekend. OSU was ranked number six on the ladies' side. And so I was just really curious about how this was going to shake up. But BYU, first time in the Big 12, and the ladies put together a huge, well, not a huge win. They won by 4 points, but I think huge in the fact that, like, this is definitely a confidence booster moving forward. They won with 35 points to Oklahoma State's 39, and all seven of the women earned all Big 12 team, which is huge. They finished 4th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 10th, 13th, and 14th, and Oklahoma State came in. They won the title, finished as the runner-up there, 5th, 15th, and 16th. And I thought that was really impressive. Like, BYU was just on point. I talked about Jenna Hutchins. She ran well. Carmen Alder ran well. The whole squad showed up that day and did what they needed to do. So I think BYU women have definitely have showcased their talent and have definitely said, hey, yeah, we're definitely supposed to be ranked in the top five, and it's our first year in the Big 12. Thank you for the invitation. We're ready to just showcase some dominance here. So for you, Ashley, I know we just talked about teams. Who was the individual that really caught your attention?
So, like I mentioned, it's Bob Liking. You know, that's who I think. Because, again, like, he was one where he hadn't raced Honeycomb. So it's like, all right, you're not racing your home meet, your biggest meet on the season, and, like, or one of the biggest meets, like, in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's up there? But I guess it was just strategy, you know? I think there were a lot of let's run threads. Like, where's Bob Liking? Where is he? Well, he made himself known. And, again, like I mentioned, it's really historic. He wins his third straight title. He could make it four. You know, next year. And so he, you know, he comes out and gets the W and does it in a pretty big way. So yeah. I think that's pretty, honestly, I think that's pretty impressive.
For me, on the ladies' side, I picked a young talent from Colorado. If you don't know the name Carrie Beloga, you definitely need to. She is a freshman. She just graduated from Cornwall High School out in New York. Just fantastic athlete. She won the Champs Sports National Cross Country Championship title last cross country season, and she wasted no time putting herself out there as a freshman to look out for. And so she was 21st at the Virginia Invitational. She was 39th at Nanaimo, but then grabbed a top 10 finish at the Pac-12. She finished 8th overall, and of course, she was the top freshman, the second fastest underclassman to compete at these championships. So I was really impressed to see Carrie Beloga. I know she's been super excited to represent Colorado and wasted no time doing great things.
Yeah, I was actually surprised to see her. I mean, obviously, I think she's a very great talent. I was kind of surprised to see her up there, because I know she hasn't been, I don't think she's raced every meet this season for them. So I was surprised to see her go out there and do really well for them.
But,
yeah.
All right, so let's move on to our next segment, which is what we're calling the most shocking results from over the weekend. And I think you and I are both on the same page.
Are we both on the same page?
We're both on the same page. I went in also in another direction, but I definitely agree with your pick here. So let's talk about Washington.
Well, I think we just need to say, first off, the Pac-12 championships. Like, what happened there? The whole time, I'm like looking at these results. I'm like, what the hell did we just witness here? Like,
it was
so
insane.
Many upsets, not just on the women's side, but, like, on the men's side, too, which I know you and I are going to dive into in a little bit. But, like, first off, with the women, going into this meet, you had, like, four really solid teams in the Pac-12, all ranked going into this. You had number 5 Stanford, number 9 Oregon State, number 14 Oregon, and number 19 Washington. Well, what happens here? No, it's not number 5 Stanford that wins, or Oregon State, or Oregon. It's Washington that comes away with this upset here. They went 6, 7, 10, 14, and 21 for 58 points, and they beat Stanford by 2 points, who, I mean, ranks number 5 in the country, you know, a big favorite there. And, you know, if you're looking, too, at the rest of the results, Washington finished 29 points ahead of Colorado, 30 points ahead of Oregon, and then Oregon State took 6 overall. So, like, so wacky how
what happened?
The results. I mean, hey, I think maybe that just shows you that the polls were A, wrong, or B, just that, like, Washington, sometimes you just need that motivation to get ready, get to the start line in Big 12s. It's the last Big 12 championships ever, and it went really well for them. You know, if you look into it a little bit more, too, you know, Stanford even had the individual winner in Amy Bunnage and Lucy Jenks, who was 5th overall, but they still lose out on that title, and they went 1-5, 17, 18, 19. And the issue here for Stanford is that Washington had their 4th in before Stanford's 3rd. That spread and that pack running did much better for Washington than it did for Stanford because, you know, you had your top 2 all the way out, but that gap between 2 and 3 at 4-5, that's what cost them. And so, again, that was pretty shocking for me. I think even they were shocked. If I've seen some pictures and videos from, like, after the race, and Washington's just, like, going crazy, like, just because they won, and so...
And rightfully so.
But then also, okay, I want to throw this out there, because I was thinking about this right after this happened. All these shakeups, things don't go as planned.
Right.
It makes me wonder, like, does this just mean that maybe there's only 2 standouts in this... You know what I mean? So it's like, are there any other standout favorites on the NCAA women's side besides NAU and NC State? Because everyone else is just shifting every week. So
that's why we love cross country. That's why we love track.
Yeah, but usually things can be predictable, you know? And that was not predictable.
It was not predictable. So. I agree with you. I was completely shocked. I was like, wait a second. What happened to Stanford?
Mm-hmm.
Was it a bad day? But they still, Stanford still ran well. That's the thing.
They ran well, but they need to close that gap.
They definitely need to do that, yes.
2 and 3. Let's just put it that way.
Let's just, yes. And Washington comes up with the win. Let's shift to the guy's side, because I have a lot of questions here.
Oh, yeah. Let's stay on this. That's where I have the most questions, I think.
Okay. Let's talk about the Oregon men here, because I was very, very confused on... I just want to know the thought process. Okay, so all know Simeon Birnbaum. Like, if you don't know Simeon Birnbaum, look him up, because... Fantastic runner. He's been running, but not officially, like, as a Duck.
He's been unattached the past meet that he ran.
Mm-hmm. He ran well. Why wasn't he running? We also know Connor Burns, another freshman, and he competed at Pac-12.
See, okay, here's the confusing thing, right? Is, like, he's probably thinking, okay, we're going to run Birnbaum and Burns unattached in that first home meet with the intentions of we're going to redshirt them this year. So that way we have them for like 4 or 5 years when they're older, you know, more training, more experience underneath their belts. We'll save them for there. So the confusing thing for me is then why are you all of a sudden running Burns in uniform, finishes 30th at Pac-12s, but then Birnbaum doesn't race? You know, it's just a little confusing to me because I also saw too, like if Birnbaum had ran, he likely could have helped Oregon to finish 2nd in the team race instead. And if he had gotten, I believe, in the top 2, I think I saw something, he would have helped them win. Which, who knows if that really would have happened. But, like, still, I think there's just a lot of, people are, maybe some questions.
Obviously, I feel like there's a bigger picture that we're missing right now.
I mean, obviously, at this point, it's obvious that, I mean, Birnbaum's redshirting, but then, you know, you have Burns running in the Oregon uniform.
That's what's confusing.
Which is a little confusing to me, so.
Like, we run Burns in the conference meet. Nothing before.
So
like,
I guess you aren't redshirting him. I don't know.
No, but, you can't now.
So, yeah, that's where I'm confused, personally. So I think that's the biggest surprise from Pac-12.
That's the biggest surprise?
Pac-12. Oregon with surprising. Their whole lineup.
Whole lineup.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to switch gears and shift it to the SEC. This does not come as a surprise. What surprised me was the time. My jaw hit the ground.
Yeah.
Parker Valby goes... 1837 to win the SEC championships to defend her title. Like, excuse me? Like, she is in a league of her own. She went 858 for 3K, Her 5K split was 5:15:13. She was running 4:38 pace, and she completely separated herself from the rest of the field with 2K to go.
Yep, that's
like
pretty...
18:37? Excuse you.
Yes. Well, the thing
I
is,
saw that,
I think
like, there,
actually,
what?
I think the most impressive part is she was up there running with all the Alabama girls.
Yes.
And with, like, still a K to go, all of a sudden she just, like, the way she separated from them with, like, literally a K to go was the most impressive thing to me about this whole thing. Because I believe she ended up beating them by, like, 30-plus seconds or something. I'm trying to find the results right now to look.
While you're looking that up, I'm going to give you some stats. So she led Florida to the team title, 51 points to Arkansas 62. All five of their scoring runners placed in the top 20, and three of them were in the top 10. Fantastic. This is the program's seventh SEC cross-country championship title and the first one since 2012, which is incredible.
Yes, crazy. Also, I wanted to, so 4:59 pace, not 4:38 pace for this.
Oh, thank
for the
you.
6K.
Yes.
I just wanted to, because I'm like, 4:38 pace, there's no way. I'm still trying to find the results. But anyways, I think just like the moral of the story here is, I mean, we're not surprised. Parker Valby's freaking good. And I think the funny thing too afterward is I believe after the race, they interviewed Will Palmer, Florida head coach. And, you know, obviously Valby's very famous for, you know, having a heavy cross training routine. And I think someone asked, like, you know, how many days is she running a week right now? Three? And he said something, and I believe his response was, usually two. So she's running 2 days a week and, you know, obviously doing the cross training. I just think that was an interesting note there. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I found the results. So you were looking for, so Parker Valby, 18:37. Doris Lamungo from Alabama went 19:11:2.
Okay, so that's the crazy thing, right?
Because yes.
They were literally with each other for till the final K, and then she dropped 40 seconds ahead of her. Like, that's insane.
Absolutely nuts. So now, I guess the biggest question.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of looking ahead. Let's just skip regionals. Let's just say Parker Valby, Caitlin Tui do what they need to do. We're at NCAAs now. We're in mid-November. At this point in time, they both ran, you know, their conference championships. Caitlin Tui wins ACCs. Valby wins SECs. At this moment, who has the upper hand right now? Is it Valby?
Parker Valby, absolutely. Like,
wow, I didn't even...
And I'm not even trying to... There's no hate to anyone. It's just, it's fact, right? Like, she put down... I mean, she beat Tui dominantly pretty dominantly in Nettycombe. No one even really challenged her there for that latter half of the race. And then I think, again, the way that she was able to run with the pack comfortably at a fast pace for so long at SECs and then just drop the hammer with a K to go and still beat the rest of the field by 40 seconds, like, no one's going to beat her. She has that kick now, right? Like, obviously we saw at Nettycombe, you know, she did what she did at NCAAs last year where she went out really fast, but this time she was able to hold on and just, like, cruise ahead. But mm-hmm. then this go around, she sticks with the pack, she sticks with the leaders, lets them do all the work, and then she's like, all right, I'm just gonna take off, kick it into the end. Like, at this point she's shown she can win both ways, and so I think that's her upper hand, right? She can win if she goes out really hard, or she can win if she sticks a little bit and then decides to wait and then go. So mm-hmm. I would say it's Valby.
So now Valby has opened up another play to her playbook. I know yeah. going into, we've talked about Valby a handful of times on the podcast of like, okay, her race strategy is going out hard
yeah.
and have you try to catch her. But now, like you said, she just revealed another play here.
Yeah, I know.
And it's like, hey, I could hang tight mm-hmm. and then decide to kick.
Yeah, and still win by like 40 seconds, so.
Domination, total mm-hmm. domination. So with all that being said, I love this question for us. Whose stocks have gone up? From this weekend, do you have a special team that like rose?
I'm gonna start. I picked an individual and
okay, perfect.
And a team. So,
okay, that's what I did too.
Yes, yeah, so, you know, looking again, trying to aggregate all this conference championship information into like the most I think important parts. And mm-hmm. so, you know, one athlete that I think after this weekend her stock has risen in an insane amount has to be Taylor Rowe of Oklahoma State. She wins the Big 12 individual title. She hadn't raced at all yet this season. This was her first race of the 2023 cross country season, and I think there are some questions as, you know, whether or not she was healthy, but then she goes in to Big 12s, and she wins this race. She ran 1935 for 6K, won this race by 7 seconds. And so I think this was a huge win for her. You know, obviously, you know, I think this is key, especially as you're going into regionals, to see like, okay, hey, she can, not only is she now racing again, I don't know, you know, the reasons why she waited so long to debut, but like, okay, hey, now I can go into regionals with this confidence that like, hey, I can win and then go to NCAAs. And she's, you know, an NCAA contender and has been for a couple of years. And so I think having Taylor Rowe back is both huge for her and individually, but also for Oklahoma State as a team as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I lied. I only have one team. I had two notes. I had two notes, but like one is because we had the conversation. I had Washington women after their dominating performance at Pac-12s. Their stocks have definitely risen. But I also want to talk about the Colorado women because the USTFCCCA has them ranked number 20, and they finished third at Pac-12s with 87 points and was just 27 points behind Stanford. Again, I mentioned Kerry Beloga, the freshman, led the team. They beat Oregon, they beat Utah, and Oregon State, who were ranked, well, minus Utah. But Oregon and Oregon State have been ranked in front of Colorado, and I really feel like the Colorado women really showcased their talent.
I think Colorado's been kind of an enigma, you know? I think they're dealing with some injuries. Natalie Cook isn't running, some other athletes as well. And so I think this third place is a pretty big confidence boost for them, considering, you know, what they're dealing with, I think, this season.
Any other thoughts on stock ups?
Oh, I got my team. You can't forget my team.
I can't forget the team. Okay.
All right. How about the UNC men? I think I was wrong. I was very wrong in this prediction. I'm pretty sure last week I said there was no question that Syracuse would win. Like,
We both said that.
I was like, no one's beating Syracuse.
We both said that.
Well, UNC completely proved me wrong. They win their first ACC title since 1985. That's a long time. It's been a long time since 1985. And I mean, much earlier than I was born. You know, they got beat pretty badly by, again, team title favorite Syracuse at Nuttycombe, you know, but then they come back to ACC's and they reverse the script. They put their top four all within the top 10 of the race, and they beat Syracuse by 16 points, and Parker Wolf took the individual win there. So UNC men, stock up.
And you said Parker Wolf won.
I was right about that one.
Okay.
You were wrong.
Rocky Hansen did not line up.
Unfortunately, yes.
He did not line up. So
I was seeing reports that maybe he's dealing with some, got kind of banged up from Nuttycombe, maybe dealing with an injury. So hopefully he'll be ready for regionals.
Rocky, I'm cheering for you for regionals. All right. More breaking news as we move forward in this show. Just about roughly 10 days ago, Grant Fisher made the post that he was leaving the Bowerman Track Club. And as of 2 days ago, Cooper Teer makes an Instagram post saying that he is also leaving the Bowerman Track Club. Is the Bowerman Track Club in danger right now? And we talked about this. We're like,
I feel like
number
now,
one,
go ahead.
Grant Fisher left, and we're like, is anybody else leaving? And then we get this news.
Well, I think, do we need like a standing segment every week of the podcast for Bowerman Track Club
if this continues,
athlete exiting?
And if then you this just continues.
Insert athlete name into parentheses.
If this continues.
I mean,
wait, are they in danger right now? Is the track club in danger?
Let's talk about this first, right? Like, Grant Fisher leaving was huge news, right?
Yes.
Like, his caliber as an athlete, especially this year and over the years for Bowerman, like, he's been their guy. Like, he has been the guy for Bowerman. And now, you know, Cooper Teer, he's been a U.S. champion at 1,500 meters. I believe that was back in 2022. So he's good in his own right. But it makes you wonder, is the Jerry effect no longer working? Is it done? Here's my thought process, right? I know we were talking about this in the office. Like, what's up? Like, what could be the reasons? What could be going on? Here are my thoughts. A, we know the club moved from Portland to Eugene because Jerry's coaching at Oregon. And, you know, you're in your 20s. You really want to be, I mean, I kind of like Eugene, but not everyone likes Eugene.
Like, we love.
There are a lot
you
of people.
And I love
there are a
Eugene.
Lot of people that think that's a hot take and they don't like Eugene. So
okay.
Being in that small area with, you know, just a college town, like maybe they just didn't like it.
That's A.
So that's A.
What's B?
B.
Emphasis on B
is members of the club, little concerned that Jerry's having to split his time between coaching Oregon and coaching the Bowerman Track Club. Getting a little fed up with it, they leave.
Is there a C?
All the above. I don't know. C, just, I don't know. Personal reasons.
Okay. I understand both sides to this. And like I mentioned when we were having conversations about this, I haven't been to Portland. I've been to Eugene many times. Not been to Portland. That will change in a couple weeks when we cover NXN. So I'll be able to get a glimpse of the vibe of Portland. So I can't attest to that. But I can attest to B. And I have known a handful of athletes who have left the college environment because they're not getting the attention that they need. When you're a professional athlete, it is your full-time job now. Mm-hmm. Like, some athletes are training 5-6 hours a day. I just remember my times when I was training. It's a lot, and you want someone to be able to give you that undivided attention.
But, I have a but to that. But okay, if you're in a grown adult, a professional, I get that. But, like, at the same time, I feel like you kind of have to be, like, willing and able to take care of yourself a little bit as well. Like, if he has to spend a little bit more time with Oregon, that's okay.
This is my money we're messing with now. See, that's the thing.
But we're talking about he still has to help the kids.
And that's totally fine. Nothing against college coaches doing that. That's, and I understand that is probably that's probably, you're thinking about, what is the number one priority? Is it the college kids or is it the pro kids? Or the pro kids? The pro runners, right? Like, I feel like you got to make your pick.
I feel like either way, the college there's, like, kids, no good answer, almost. It's like, okay, how do I deal with this? And I actually thought of C as another theory.
Okay,
as we were talking, I thought of C because we mentioned this too. Like, let's be real. Like, there hasn't been, I would say, within the past probably year, like, across the board, I feel like, you know, you can look to the numbers and Bowerman hasn't been the most successful track club in the U.S. Okay. I mean, sure, you have Grant Fisher still going out there setting records and everything, but, you know, some athletes have dealt with a lot of injuries while at Bowerman. And, like, maybe it's getting to that point where it's like they don't want to be in that anymore.
Right.
You know, maybe there's something there, but that's also a theory.
Again, theories. We're just
hypotheticals.
Just talking it out, seeing different angles.
Either way, I don't know. Are they in danger?
I don't know. I feel like it's one of those where it's like the first one you're like, okay, I get it. Second one you're like, iffy.
No, I didn't even get the first one. No, I think that was a warning sign.
That was a warning sign, but I was like, okay, maybe it's just the one.
No.
Maybe it's just that one, I don't want to say bad egg, that's a really bad analogy, but that one individual that, like, it just wasn't working. When you have two now I start, in the time span too, it's not like it's been a month, it's literally been 10 days.
Yeah.
So it's like, Grant Fisher, boom. Cooper Tier, literally 2 days ago, boom. I'm like, oh man, something's really happening now.
Yeah.
So now if there's more to come, then it's just gonna blow up.
Well, I guess we'll have to see if we're gonna be back on the pod Monday.
So your thing is, your thing was after Grant Fisher made his statement, and you were like, okay, something's going on, or you're like, okay, maybe.
No, I was like, something's going on. Absolutely.
After one.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Really? Yeah, because just of how high profile he is, and then just hearing what people have said in the space about, you know, rumors about Bowerman Schlatt Club and stuff, and other athletes potentially wanting to leave, like, that's how, you know, there was obviously something going on. Like, it wasn't just a one breaking news and done. You need to read the rest message boards more. I think that's the moral story here. That's how you get the gossip, the information.
The message boards.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll make
then
that
you would have
my...
known that it wasn't the end.
I'll make it my homework then.
Okay.
I guess for me, I'm like, okay, I understand. It's Grant Fisher. Big name Grant Fisher.
No,
but it's
don't understand. Anyways.
Grant Fisher. Okay. Let's move on now. Our another segment that we have for y'all is who's winning the recruiting game right now. This is very interesting.
Well, I think we should preface. We're bringing this up because, you know, we're close to National Signing Day. And so
November 8th.
Yeah.
Yeah. So literally, is that next week? I'm like,
yeah, I believe that's next
I cannot.
Week.
I was like, where did October go? Yes. November 8th. Next week, Wednesday, is National Signing Day. So a lot of the seniors have already made their commitments, but we've been seeing a lot of distance individuals make their verbal commitments, and it, that's, for me, that's normal. The sprinters typically wait a couple, they wait a little bit later. So as of right now, with the information that we have, Ashley and I have picked our picks on which program has kind of taken the lead when it comes to recruiting, and you and I do not agree.
No, we don't. You know, and I think, first off, this is relevant because, you know, this kind of gives you an idea of what the talent's going to look like, especially on the cross country, and as we're in cross country season going ahead for the next few years. Mm-hmm. And so if you're looking at the recruiting classes, keep your eyes on Notre Dame. Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish, I think they have by far the best recruiting class in the entire nation for distance, especially if you look on the men's side. Like, Liv, you can't deny this. The class is loaded. I'm just going to list off some names and some time. So you got, if you look at the men, you have 7 of the top recruits distance-wise in the country, including Drew Griffith, who is currently the fastest runner in the nation at 5K for high schoolers. He's run 14:21. Come on, that translates like immediately to the college level. Then you have Ryan Pajak from, he's number 9 currently in the country for 5K, 14:40. Colin Whitaker, number 12, 14:42. And then Jason Parra, number 7 for the 3-mile at 14:04. There's no other school that's getting as much talent right now. I can say that. They're going to be loaded when you have that many freshmen. And then even on the women's side, too, you have a bunch of athletes that have gone 17 minutes or below for 5K, which is pretty elite. So no more explanation needed.
Okay. That's Ashley's
take
right here.
How can you disagree with that?
I can't because I'm about to name off some stats too on my end. I'm going to pick Oregon. I feel like Oregon has, gosh, the names that they have right now that have committed are like individuals who make it to nationals and perform well. Let's talk about the twins first. Nicole and Samantha Humphreys, they're almost in our backyard. They're in Flower Mound here in Texas. Samantha was 11th at NXN. I feel like she's a heavy going into states this weekend. It's crazy to think UIL is this weekend. And then she has PRs of 207 in the 800, 441 in the mile, 10:12 in the 32, and she's also running cross country, as we know. Her twin, Nicole, was 13th at NXN last year, double back, was 21st at Champ Sports in 2022. She won states. They pretty much were tied going across the finish line. And she has personal best of 206, 447 in the mile, 10:11 in the 32. She's been kind of battling some injuries this fall, but I'm without a doubt sure that she's going to come out stronger and faster as we move into the spring season. But another individual, this is new. This, I think, is like 24 hours new. Allie Eins here from Normal Community College out in Illinois. She also has a New Balance National deal as well. She's a 6-time Illinois state champion. 400, 800, 1600, fourth at Pan American U20s in the 800. She was second at trials. She's the New Balance National Indoor Champion in the 800, sixth during the outdoor season. Ashley's quiet over here.
What? Why am I quiet?
I'm just messing with you. I'm messing with you. And then on the guy side, Anthony Fasthorse of Ventura High School from California. This guy has just been rising to the occasion this cross country season. He was second at Woodbridge with a 13:48 for 3 miles. He was fourth at states last year for cross country, and he was third in the 1600 meters with a 4:08 in 2022 at the state championship.
Can I just make a note? I saw the Alliance commit coming because we may or may not have seen her on an official visit when we were at Prefontaine. I saw it coming.
We saw her there.
Yeah,
yes. But I wasn't, but again, it's one of those where you're like, okay, we see the recruits doing their thing.
Yeah, but I mean, you're there for Prefontaine weekend. That's a pretty cool party to go
to.
Yeah,
exactly. So that's why those are some pretty heavy hitters.
Okay. Well, I still disagree. You only named 4 athletes. I named like 7.
Yeah, but I just read off like pretty much their resume from only a year.
Yeah, but I have in my notes here 14 athletes written down for commits across the men and women.
That's awesome.
And they're all good.
They are great. I'm fans of your high school picks.
I'm just messing with you.
I know.
I'm just
but
messing
I
with
still
you.
Think Oregon
okay.
is doing very, very well right
well,
now.
Well, anyways, National Sign Day coming up. Keep paying attention to what the kiddos are doing because they're the future of
yes,
NCAA.
Yes, they're the future of NCAA. Mm-hmm. Wrapping up our show, Ashley and I will be in New York on Wednesday for the New York City Marathon. This is your second, this will be your second marathon of the year.
Of the year,
yes,
yeah.
On the ground. Mm-hmm. So we are super excited. I'm really, as Molly Huddle kind of mentioned, this woman's field.
Oh, it's loaded.
Loaded. Absolutely loaded.
Yeah. I don't even know where to begin. You know, if you look, there's just too many great athletes. I'll begin first, I guess, with, you'll have the defending champion returning to this race. That's going to be Sharon Lokedi. And she won this race last year in her debut marathon, which is absolutely insane, first off. And she kind of, like, shocked the world. Like, she made huge headlines across the nation for winning the New York City Marathon, sponsored by Under Armour. She won in 2:23:33. However, she hasn't raced. I was looking at her World Athletics profile. She hasn't raced at all since New York City.
Literally has not raced.
And so it's going to be interesting to see how her return to New York City goes. I mean, hey, they worked the first time, so maybe second time she can win again. And then, you know, looking at some of the other big names, you're going to have Helen Obiri, which she won the Boston Marathon earlier this year in 2:21:38. She trains, I believe, with the OAC, and she was sixth in New York City last year. So she has been to this course. She knows what to expect.
Yeah. I think my biggest question is Sharon the heavy favorite?
No.
I know she's the defending champion, as we mentioned, like, she hasn't competed, but she's doing the exact same thing she did last year.
In my mind, she's not the heavy favorite just because I haven't even gotten to my favorite on this list.
Oh, who's your favorite?
My favorite here has to be Bridget Costigan.
Okay.
She has a PR of 2:14:04. That was the world record until it was brought down by Tegista Seffa back in Berlin a month ago. And now she's number three all time for that distance behind Seffa and Stefan Hassan. Mm-hmm. So for me, she's going to be the favorite because she has that speed in her. Now, I will say, the New York City course, it's not necessarily one where, like, maybe the fastest person wins, right? Because as Molly was saying, you know, it's a challenging course. There are hills, there are turns you have to make, and it's not necessarily, you know, a good course to PR on. So we'll see what happens there. But I think, you know, it's going to be very competitive.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. Whew.
This woman's field is just incredible. And especially just looking at Helen's resume, she's a two-time world champion, two-time Olympic silver medalist as well. She's ranked number five in the world right now for the half. Like, this is a
You have the heavy hitters going out there.
Oh, my gosh.
Heavy hitters.
Absolutely. Let's talk about the guys' side, because I know it's probably not as in-depth as the woman, but still it's going to be a great field.
Yeah, you know, it's a bit of a smaller field, unfortunately, I believe.
Yeah.
Like,
a couple people had to drop out.
A couple people, and they were the, you know, some of the race favorites, the headliners of the race had to drop out. However, some of the people they've added could definitely win this race. I think the biggest ad here, and my favorite to win this race, has to be Tamarat Tola of Ethiopia. Mainly because I think he wants redemption, I think, after, you know, I watched him run the World Championships marathon and, you know, on TV in Budapest, and he had to drop out of that race, you know, towards the end. The conditions were brutal there in Budapest for the marathon, and he had to drop out. And so, you know, potentially he wants redemption from that and wants to have another shot at winning a marathon this year. And earlier this year, he was third at the London Marathon, 2:04:59, and he has a personal best under 2:04, 2:03:39 back from 2021. And so, you know, if you look at this field, he's the fastest guy going into the field, and I think he's going to be the guy to come out on top.
Mm-hmm. One individual I just want to make a note of, who I'm a huge fan of.
You're a huge fan of?
I'm a huge fan of Edward Cheswick, a.k.a.
King Ches.
I remember watching him during his Oregon days. I think that's when I was at A&M. We kind of crossed paths a little bit. And ever since, like, he went pro, I felt like he's kind of been floating underneath the radar a little bit.
Yeah.
But he also ran a half marathon this year in September in Denmark, number 17 in the world with a 59.11. So I'm just, like, excited to see
I'm just so curious. Yes. Again, like, he hasn't ran much.
No, he hasn't.
I'm looking now. He ran the Houston half earlier this year.
Did you see King Ches?
I did not see King Ches. I finished eighth there, and then he ran the New York City half. So he's been to New York this year, and he finished fifth. And so, again, very curious because I feel like, as you mentioned, since he's left college, it's like, oh,
where's King Ches?
We want more King Ches. I think Edward Cheswick is going to be someone really curious to see how he does in his debut marathon.
Woo! It's going to be an exciting weekend. So, like I said, Ashley and I will be on the ground, so be sure to look out for us as we'll be handling all the coverage, all the stuff that you guys are wanting. You guys, thank you so much for joining us for another episode of the Flow Track Podcast. We're so super excited to have you with us. Stay tuned to all the exciting things going on. I know there's still state championships going on this weekend on the high school side, but of course, New York City Marathon is the big headliner.
Can I like wave everyone out?
Oh, you can wave everyone out. Yes. Hermione Granger is going to wave us out. But thank you guys so much, and we'll see you next week.
See you soon.